This is Digital Story Podcast number 630, April 10th, 2018. Today's theme is, I probably could have done that better. I'm Derek Story. Alan Saunders wrote in 1957, life is what happens while you are busy making other plans. John Lennon later used that quote in his song, Beautiful Boy, Darling Boy. And any photographer who has ever hit the road knows exactly how this feels. In this week's podcast, I share how even the best laid plans can go awry when life intervenes. I hope you enjoy the show. So yes, I'm back in the studio now. I'm back in Santa Rosa. I even have my suitcase unpacked, for the most part. You know, you do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. By the end of the week, I should be, you know, pretty much back to normal. And it is good to be home. It's good to be gone and good to be home. I wrote an article today, Monday. I posted it on the Digital Story about, okay, how did my packing go? Remember, we talked about the whole packing thing before I left. And I was very proud of my bag because it was so compact. And it had what I felt everything in it that I would need for the two-week trip, two different islands in Hawaii, lots of bouncing around, all that good stuff. And in the article that I posted, I said, yeah, you know what? It came off pretty well, I have to say indeed. And I came home with some great memories and with a whole lot of pictures. And I was able to keep up on, you know, the things that I had to do, including recording last week's podcast in Maui, and I thought it came off pretty okay. I hope you enjoyed it. The one about the review of the Leica in Paradise, which I have to say was a very fun camera to have on this trip. Someone asked me today on Facebook, I think it's Charles did, asked me on Facebook, you took four cameras, right? So I had the Leica Deluxe, and I had the Olympus OMD EM10 Mark II with four lenses, and the Olympus TG4, the all-weather camera, the tough camera. And I had the Contax 159mm with Zeiss lens for my film photography. And I had an iPhone in my pocket, you know, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time. And so I believe Charles asked me, well, if I had to just take one camera, which one would I choose after having been, you know, through that experience? And I said, well, I'm not really a one camera kind of guy, but forced, if I had to make a decision, then I probably would have gone with the Olympus OMD just because it's more versatile and because I like the tilting LCD, which until I had a fixed back camera, fixed back LCD, I didn't realize how much I use that tilting LCD, the interchangeable lenses, and the digital teleconverter, the 2X teleconverter that I also wrote about. I think I wrote about that on Saturday. You know, it has those things that I really like when I'm on the go. So if I had to pick just one, I'd probably go with the Olympus. However, I was really happy to have all the cameras that I had with me, and I used them all, and I used them all, I think, appropriately. And it was just a lot of fun. So anyway, so my planning went really well and the execution came off beautifully. That doesn't mean that there weren't a few bumps in the road. In fact, there were. And that's what we're going to focus on today because it sounds fun to me. It sounds fun. I love talking about this stuff. So the first story involves the Leica Deluxe Type 109. And this all started at Fleetwood's on Front Street in Lahaina. And Fleetwood's has a wonderful happy hour that begins at 2 o'clock. So not only is it a good happy hour, it begins early. So that is a good combination. So I was in Lahaina on this day for some business that I had to take care of. And the business wrapped up right about 2 o'clock. And I go, well, heck, no need to, you know, go back up to Kaanapali. Why not hang out a little bit longer in Lahaina and stop by Fleetwood's and enjoy happy hour? And it was a great call because I didn't have to drive on this particular trip, so I could enjoy happy hour, and the food is just fantastic there. I had two fish tacos, and I mean, they were probably two of the best fish tacos I've ever had. The fish did taste, as the saying goes, like it just was pulled out of the ocean. It was so fresh and delicious, and the taco itself was fantastic. And then I had two house drinks, and they were, I think what they were making that day was lime in the coconut, or you know, something like that. It was a Hawaiian drink, and you know, I drink those when I'm on the islands, usually at happy hour. Most happy hours that I go to, it's a little bit like getting a free drink in Las Vegas while you're gambling, even though I don't gamble. But it's a little bit like the same thing. The drinks are good, they're tasty, but they usually don't have a whole lot of alcohol in them, usually just the minimal amount, which is, you know, fine during the day. And that's sort of what I was expecting at Fleetwood's on Front Street. However, the bartender was making like real drinks that day during happy hour, you know, at half price. So I had the first one and it was chatting away and looking out the window and looking down on Front Street in Lahaina, which is just a lot of fun because I think a cruise ship had come in. And so the people watching is just hilarious whenever the cruise ships come in. And so I was, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And feeling very relaxed. And so since I ordered a second taco, I had a second drink. And the second one, I really started to feel it as I was finishing it up. And I was going, wow, you know. And it was kind of a warm day, you know, warm, humid day, as you would expect. I was feeling pretty good. Got the ride back up to Kaanapali. We pulled into the parking garage back at our place. So I'm in there and I'm just sort of like fumbling around a little bit. I was not my normal efficient self. It took me a minute to find my regular glasses. I had my sunglasses on and then my hat was, you know, suddenly missing inside the car. You know, that kind of thing where you're just like just a little disheveled. And so it was taking me a few minutes, and I had pulled my camera out during the ride because I wanted to shoot some shots out the window. We're going by a couple things. And I thought, well, you know, if traffic slows down enough, you know, I can grab a few shots. So I had the side flap opened on my backpack where all the cameras were. And so I get back to the parking garage, and Teresa's in kind of a hurry to, you know, get back up to the room. And so I was sort of fumbling around. And so I pull the backpack out and I set it on top of the car. And what I didn't realize at this time was that the side flap was still open from when I took my camera out. And I'm sure that happy hour had something to do with this lapse in judgment. I just go ahead and I throw it over my shoulder after I close the car door. Teresa was looking at me. She's standing there waiting, and she goes, I think I saw something fly out of your backpack. I go, what? And she's looking down, and she pulls out the case that has my Olympus lenses in it. So it's a little rectangular case. And you may recall that I was talking about, before I left, that I put everything in individual cases. And as it turned out, this was a lifesaver. This is actually one of the things I did right. When I flipped the backpack over my shoulder with the side flap open, that case flew out. She handed it to me and I stuffed it back in there, zipped it up, and then I was going, wow, that went back in a little too easy. So I said, wait, I know you're kind of in a hurry, but I need to make sure that everything's in here. And so I opened it back up. Right as I noticed that the Leica wasn't inside the backpack anymore, this Mustang comes hauling down the road there in the parking garage, the thoroughfare, whatever you call it, and it just like turns, does this really tight turn right into the parking spot that was right next to me. So that parking spot had been open, and this Mustang just hauls right in there. At that moment, did not know where the Leica was because it was not in the camera bag. And so the lenses had bounced out into that spot where the Mustang pulled out. And I was going, oh my God, if the Leica is there, I didn't hear anything. But then again, it was a Mustang and you don't hear a whole lot anyway because the Mustang's so loud. So I had this moment of mild panic because that isn't my camera. It's on loan for the review. So they get out of the car and they just like take off, the people in the Mustang. And the parking garage is kind of dark. You're inside there. So I pull out my iPhone and I turn on the flashlight and I'm nervously looking underneath the Mustang for the Leica in its pouch and I don't see anything. and then looking around. And fortunately, it had bounced out. And like a football that could bounce either way, it bounced under our car instead of into the stall where the Mustang was. And I found that with my iPhone flashlight, and there it was underneath the car. Pulled it out, put it in the backpack, and I zip it up, knowing that now I had all of my gear in there and secure. And then I flip-flop my way back up to the room with my tail between my legs, because that was really stupid. And that really could have been a bad thing. My thing that I could have done better here is, A, probably only had one drink at happy hour. I think that's where, you know, this all started to fall apart. And then the second thing, I know better just when I'm shooting with any camera bag, that before I get up and start moving around, make sure that the camera bag is closed up and that whatever is supposed to be in there is in there. That was the other thing that I certainly could have done better. The second story happens at Kanapali Beach Club, which is sort of at the upper end of Kanapali, which is up, about 20 minutes or so from Lahaina on the west side. Once again, it evolves around happy hour. This time, I was just having a lava flow, and I only had one lava flow, so I was being good. I mean, it was not like at Fleetwood's, and enjoying some nice food, and just looking out over the ocean. And one of the really nice things about Kanapali Beach Club is that when you sit outside at their bar restaurant there, you get to look right out at the ocean. You're there. And we saw a couple whales out there. And I was going, oh my gosh, you know, I've been talking about possibly going whale watching, but I didn't really know, you know, what the status was. And it was a little late for whale watching, a little late in the season. But there they were. There's two of them out there, and they were really having a good time. They're playing around, and it was pretty nice. Even though they were off in the distance, it was pretty exciting. And so then we started talking. Well, maybe we should catch a boat ride after all and go out and see if we can get a better look, since they seem to be right out there, and there's probably more too. And even though that at the moment I was pretty excited about the idea, as I thought about it a little bit more, I was going, oh, darn it. Because the one thing that I didn't do in my packing that went so well, was I didn't put a long lens in, because I wasn't really planning on doing anything that required a long lens. So the longest lens I had with me was the 45mm f1.8, the Olympus, which, yes, I could use the 2x digital teleconverter and get 180, but I really felt like I needed more than that if I was going to be out on a boat whale watching. And so suddenly I wasn't feeling so good, because really the lens that I wanted to have with me was the 40 to 150 millimeter f2.8 Pro lens, which is just a fantastic lens. I love that lens. Love, love, love that lens. But the problem is, for a Micro Four Thirds lens, it's a little bit on the large side. And I would have had to give up, you know, something substantial in order to get it in my bag. And probably what I would have had to give up is the film camera and the two Zeiss lenses. And I really wanted to do this film project. So, you know, this was a tug of war that I had already experienced before I left. I had come to terms with my choices, and then these whales are frolicking off the coastline there. So I didn't say anything that, you know, that I wasn't going to be able to really get great pictures unless we were extremely lucky. And the rules governing what boats can do and how close, you know, a boat cannot approach a whale and get closer than 100 yards. Now, the whale can come up to the boat, but the boat can't go after the whale. And if the boat is traveling toward the whale, it has to stop at 100 yards. Which means that if the whale was a little bit further than that, I would really want that 40 to 150. So I wasn't feeling so good about my packing selection at that moment. And I was really thinking I probably could have done that better, given the fact that there are still whales there. And a little bit of research would have told me that the season isn't over. You know, best season's around February, March, but that the season still wasn't over and that I probably should have been prepared for such an event. In all honesty, I don't have a great whale shot from the wild. Well, as it turned out, I was saved on this one because what happened was that the ocean was very choppy after that. So it was calm at the moment and we could really see the whales and stuff. But like an hour and a half later, it became choppy and it stayed rough the whole time I was there on the island, which was a lot of fun for everything else because the weather was very dynamic. It was changing a lot. You know, the water was fun to watch and all that kind of stuff. But it would not have been good to be out there in a boat in those water conditions. And so we decided not to go out. And therefore, my choice of not bringing the 40 to 150, I was saved. I did not have to pay the penalty for that. But I think in the future, I really need to think long and hard about finding a way to bring that lens if there's going to be an opportunity, such as, you know, photographing a whale, you know, off the coast of Maui. I think I probably could have done a little better in that area, but I was saved. Now, the last story happened while exploring a waterfall and a pool while I was on the road to Hana. And the road to Hana is on the other side of the island. And those of you that have been to Maui or have heard about the road to Hana, you know that is this very windy, slow-traveling road that goes on for a very long time. And if you get car sick at all, this is not the ride for you. I'm fortunate I don't get car sick and I rarely get seasick. I can do okay on the road to Hana. There were some stops that I wanted to explore. And the way to really do the road to Hana, I think, is do a little bit of research first and then plan out four or five stops and then really enjoy those stops. And then, you know, once you're done, then turn back. You only have to go to Hana once. And then after that, you can just, you know, any degree, you know, there between is just fine. So I was at this wonderful waterfall area that I had never been to before. This turnout, I was really enjoying it. And there was a nice waterfall and there was a big pool, just a big pool. And these kids were playing in. And I actually published this photo, I think both on Digital Story and I published it over on the Skyland Public Group too. I had a really good angle. I kind of walked around on the rocks, had a really good angle, digging around in my bag, and I had forgotten my little tripod. I had pulled it out of the bag back in the room because I was fooling around with stuff, and I had not stuck it back in. So here I was in this really ideal location to get a really terrific shot, and I wanted to do a long exposure. I wanted to do like a second or 2 second exposure. And I had no tripod whatsoever. So I'm sitting there feeling a little silly again, feeling stupid. No happy hour was involved in this story, by the way. I was feeling a little silly and I was thinking, okay, what can I do to steady the camera? I had the OMD with me on this particular shot and I was using the Panasonic 20mm f1.7, which is a wonderful lens, especially for this kind of image. What I had on was kind of trail shoes. I didn't wear socks the whole week, the whole 2 weeks I was in there. So I had these trail shoes that you can just slip on. They've got nice treads and they're Keens for those of you that know this kind of stuff. I go, okay, here's what I'm going to do. So I took off my trail shoes and I found a spot on the rock where I could get good traction with them. And then because they're sort of open, then I was able to set the camera inside the trail shoe and get it so, you know, the hard part then was getting the angle right and getting it level, because I didn't have a tripod. I was doing this on a trail shoe that was sitting on a rock that was in a pool. And so I'm kind of playing around with this. And this is, by the way, when I was really happy to have that tilting LCD, because this shot would have been impossible with the fixed back LCD on the Leica. Because, you know, once I got it positioned, you know, I had to tilt the LCD up so I could compose, you know, the frame and fine tune it and make sure it was focusing in the right place and all that kind of stuff. So the LCD was critical. The tilting LCD was critical to this. Believe it or not, using the shoe tripod technique. And maybe it's because I have, you know, really big feet too, so I had a nice big surface area to work with there. I got the shot lined up. And then once I got the shot lined up, then I was using the self timer to trigger the shutter. And I probably shot for, a good 15 minutes or so. Took a lot of different frames. These kids were playing in the water and doing all sorts of stuff. So there was a variety of stuff. And as it turned out, it worked. It worked. The shoe tripod sitting on a rock with my big foot shoes worked fantastic. And I got a shot that I really liked. What I could have done better is before I took off on this trip, knowing that I was going to be seeing waterfalls all day, is make sure that I had my tripod in my backpack where it belongs and not inside the dresser drawer where it does not belong. And it's not even that big of a tripod, so there really wasn't an excuse. In the end, all three things I could have done better, I did not have to pay a big penalty for. In fact, all three things turned out okay. So even though I lucked out on all three things, I have to say that it was a good reminder that, you know, being prepared isn't just before you get on the plane. It's the whole time that you're there. You know, you have to keep your head about you. Watch out for those happy hours and, you know, pay attention to your gear. And then you'll come away with some good shots if you're lucky. Blackmagic unveils a $1,295 compact camera that shoots 4K RAW. And I just saw this story today. DP Review reports that Blackmagic has just announced its Pocket Cinema Camera 4K, a Micro Four Thirds compact camera that puts 4K RAW recording in your pocket for $1,300. The camera is a long-awaited successor to the original Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera of 2013, which offered 1080p RAW in a tiny camera body. Inside the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K is a 4/3 HDR sensor with 4096 by 2160 resolution and 13 stops of dynamic range. Quote, the full size of the 4/3 sensor is designed to perfectly match Micro Four Thirds lenses, so the crop factor is greatly reduced, giving customers a wider field of view, Blackmagic says. So I brought this up because I think this is a very interesting camera. One of the things about it is, in my opinion, and obviously some of the people that commented on the article, is that it's not a super attractive camera. It really isn't. It kind of looks like a throwback to something that was, you know, designed in the 90s or something like that. But it's a really functional camera, and it has professional microphone port. It has a mini jack microphone port. Has two mics built in the front of the camera. It has, you know, all the things that you would want from a camera that was really designed to capture high quality video. Now, the interesting thing that they did, because it is first a video camera, is that the button that goes where the shutter normally goes, that's a record button. But then what they did just to the right of it, they put a stills button, a shutter button, a regular shutter button there. So yes, this camera works great for still photography also, at least according to the article. I haven't tested it. And you can use it for both. And it is extremely compact. So, you know, Blackmagic, they really make good stuff here. And the fact that you can get a very compact camera that probably will use all the lenses that any Micro Four Thirds shooter already has. So you don't have to buy any lenses. You already will have the lenses if you shoot Micro Four Thirds. And indeed creates, well, broadcast quality stuff. And all that for $1,300. It'll be released a little later this year. It's not out yet. But I'm going to keep an eye on this, and I would love to see some footage from it. And if any of you end up getting this camera, please let me know, because I would love to talk more about it once we can actually see the video that it records. I want to talk a moment about the digital asset management with Luminar Nimble Classroom that I had scheduled for April 21st, which is just a couple weeks away. At the time that I scheduled this class, which was, I think, back at the end of last year, it was looking like the digital asset manager would be out in spring. Well, as it turns out, Skylum is not going to be releasing the digital asset manager in spring at all. It will probably be sometime during the summer before we see it. So me having a class on April 21st seemed like a great idea back on information 6 months ago, but right now it doesn't seem very wise. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to put a bookmark in the class, and I'm going to follow the release date for the digital asset manager for Luminar. And once I have a firm date, then I will announce that and we will move the class till then. Now, if you have signed up for this class, I will talk to you individually about it and make sure that we meet your needs. But I'm not going to run the class until we actually have a working version, a version that, you know, is solid, a gold master version of the digital asset manager for Luminar. Now, we still have a few seats open, and if you want to be in on this class, because we're going to have the class as soon as the digital asset manager is ready, then go ahead and register. And then, of course, you'll be in, you know, that same loop with the other people who have registered, and we'll get that class scheduled once we know when it's going to be available. And remember, if you're part of the Nimble Classroom, not only do you have the live class, but then you also get all the video from the class, and it's organized. It's not just one long video. It's organized into segments with titles that covers each topic that we cover in the syllabus. So you will get those afterwards. So even if you can't make the whole class, let's say you can only go to half of the class, you still get all the videos from the class. Those videos will be available, I think, far before any other training for the digital asset manager. All of that is over at the Nimble Classroom. You can get to it through the workshops page on the Digital Story, or you can go over to the nimblephotographer.com, click on Nimble Classroom, and it'll take you, and you can sign up there. We'll just wait and see when they announce the Digital Asset Manager, and once they do, then I will set a date for our class, and we'll have fun with this thing. I can't wait for this to come out. So while I was in Hawaii, I had a number of people contact me about donating their film camera, their analog camera, to the film camera shop. And I really enjoyed those conversations. It was so much fun. And when I got home, I had a few of them, you know, waiting here for me. And I just want to thank those of you that are finding a good home for your film camera. As I talked about before, you know, what I do is I clean up the cameras, I test them. If they need any repairs, if I can do those repairs, I do the repairs. I actually run a roll of film through it and, you know, use it as any photographer would. Check the negatives and, you know, make sure everything looks good. If there are any little light leaks or anything, I fix those. And then once they're all ready to go, I get them in the film camera shop and then try to find a good home for them. Those that have already donated a camera, thank you very much. This has been a lot of fun, not only receiving your prized possessions, but talking to you about them. And then if you're interested in doing this, then all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com. There's a contact form on there, and just let me know what you have, and you know that you're interested in finding a good home for it, and then we'll take it from there. This is a really fun project, and I'm enjoying it a lot. And again, thank you to everyone who has participated so far, and I hope more of you get in on the fun here. I hope to send out reservation forms for the Burney Falls and Lassen Volcanic National Park workshop. That's going to be on September 27th, 28th, and 29th, later this year. I hope to be sending those reservation forms out by the end of this week or early next week. It sort of depends. It's my first week back, and a few things are up in the air, but I would love to get them out at the end of this week. So if you're on the reserve list, keep your eyes peeled for that. And then, of course, at next week's podcast, I'll say, hey, I've sent them out. So look in your inbox if you haven't seen it already. We're going to start the registration process. We're going to get this going. If you're on the reserve list, keep an eye out. I'm going to get those reservation forms out as soon as possible. And finally, a big thanks to both our Inner Circle members and Red River Paper. I'm going to talk about Inner Circle members first. So one of the things that I did in Hawaii was that I'm working on a movie for you. And it's a movie about the project that I was doing the second week while I was there. And so I recorded some video there on location. And I'm getting the other assets together. And I think this cool little travel video will be ready by the time that I have to post videos on May 1st for our Inner Circle members. So Inner Circle members, keep an eye out. I've got a little something special coming to you for our next round of movies. And if you want to be part of the Inner Circle and help support the show and help support everything that I'm working on, then all you have to do is go to any page of the Digital Story, click on the Patreon tile, and you can sign up. By becoming a member of the Inner Circle, you get all sorts of nice little benefits, and I think this one's going to be really fun. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper who support this podcast. And I'm going to be using their stuff for one of these projects that I'm working on. I'm going to be talking more about it. But I was thinking about printing while I was in Hawaii, while I was working with the assets that I was creating there, and just imagining how much fun this is going to be and how beautiful it's going to turn out when it's all said and done. Red River Paper is part of my inspiration for this. They keep me energized about printing. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. It'll take you over to their landing page, and then you can explore from there. They have inkjet paper. They have ink for your inkjets. They have tutorials, envelopes, reviews, you name it. They have it if it's related to printing. And they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Really happy to be back. Really enjoyed my stay there. And it's a lot of fun to go through all the content that I gathered while I was over there. I'm looking forward to making this movie for our Patreon members. I reviewed the footage on the plane, and it was a lot of fun. It's going to be good over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be really good. Hope you enjoyed this week's show and, of course, those things that I could have done better. Until next week, bye-bye now.